This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Reverend Joseph L. Garner and the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church of Leesville presents its annual Family Day Weekend. Saturday, May 21st, family enrichment classes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Family night concert featuring Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers of Memphis at 6. Opening up for Lisa Knowles will be Big Show and the Quartet Boys of Zwolle, Louisiana. Tickets are $20, available at eventbrite.com. Sunday, May 22nd, family worship and the carnival. Free boiled crawfish, hamburgers, and hot dogs. They'll have food trucks, games, and balloon jumpers for the kids from 9:30 to 4 p.m.
Hey, come on.
The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. For more information, 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is another proud sponsor of this station.
To be grateful for so much. To be grateful for so much, to be grateful.
I'm mighty grateful.
So much to be grateful for.
And I'm grateful.
So much to be grateful.
Now the Lord keeps on blessing me. He let me see another day. And in spite of my messing up, He keeps on blessing me anyway. I got so much.
So much to be grateful for.
And I'm grateful.
So much to be grateful.
I'm mighty grateful.
So
yeah.
Much to be grateful for.
I'm grateful.
So much to be grateful.
Say it one more time. Now the Lord keeps on blessing me. He let me see another day. And in spite of my messing up, He keeps on blessing me anyway. I got so much.
So much to be grateful.
Oh, I'm grateful.
So much to be grateful.
I'm mighty, mighty grateful.
So much to be grateful for.
I'm grateful.
So
yeah.
Much to be grateful.
I'm mighty grateful.
So much to be grateful.
This is it, this is it. Oh, now the Lord keeps on blessing me. He let me see another day. And in spite of my wickedness, He keeps on blessing me. Anyway, I got so much.
So much to be grateful for.
And I'm grateful.
So much to be grateful.
Hallelujah. Remain standing. If you have your Bibles, we ask that you would turn with us to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verses 1 through 9. I will be reading from the New International Version. Amen. It says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. Verse 6. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Amen. I want to talk, as you shall take your seats in the presence of the Lord, I want to talk for just a few moments from this subject, what to do when you feel like giving up.
Yes, Lord.
What to do when you feel like giving up. Being saved carries with it a number of assurances. Because I'm saved, I don't have a fear of hell. Because salvation assures me that hell is no longer in my future. Because I'm saved, I know that I'm never alone. For I have Christ's assurance that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Do I have a witness today?
Yeah.
I have the indwelling and the infilling presence of the Holy Spirit to equip and empower me. Because I'm saved, I know that my sin has been forgiven, that I've been regenerated, redeemed, and reconciled to my Heavenly Father, that I've been elevated to the full place of sonship and heirship that God always intended for me. And that all of this has been done not because I've been so good, not because of me, but in spite of me, through the gracious gift of Jesus Christ. And it's good to live every day secure in the knowledge that my salvation is a guarantee that cannot be lost. But my brothers and sisters, being saved doesn't mean that I'm not subject to periods of weakness along this Christian journey. Being saved doesn't mean I'm perfect. I will make mistakes. Being saved doesn't mean that I won't have to deal with disappointments and frustrations. There are many, and sometimes they appear to be mounting exponentially. Being saved doesn't mean that there will never be times of anxiety, fear, and anger. There's a reason why Christians are called disciples. It is because it takes tremendous discipline to live a life of faith when circumstances are not what we would want them to be. Though I'm absolutely sure of my salvation, I confess that there are times that I don't feel saved. I know that God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and I know that he's in charge of the universe, yet there are circumstances that arise in my life that challenge my faith. Am I by myself? There are circumstances that arise in my life that cause me to hurt, and can I be honest with you? When I'm hurting, I just want the pain to stop.
And when the pain just keeps on coming and gets worse instead of better, when I wake up with hurt in the morning after I've tossed and turned all night long, when my hurt follows me like a shadow in the noonday sun, when my hurt won't let me eat, when my hurt robs me of my concentration, when my hurt pulls me down like an anchor tied around my neck, in those times, if I'm not careful, my faith will get weak. Now, somebody here today may know something of what I'm talking about. Somebody may be in a bad place in your home life. There's no peace in your house. You and your spouse can't get along no matter how hard you try. Your children don't respect you, and you wake up every morning dreading what the day will bring. And because of personal sorrows, your faith has gotten weak. Somebody's health has betrayed them. You've got aches and pains. Your energy is gone, and you're flat on your back a lot of the time. And in your pain, you're asking yourself, does God really care about me? Somebody's done everything they know to do to live a Christian life. You try to live by the golden rule. You try to treat people the way you want to be treated. And yet it seems like the nicer you are to people, the more they try to take advantage of you. The more you try to help folk, the more they do to hurt you. And in the midst of it all, you've thrown your hands up in despair, and your faith has gotten weak. When these moments come, they must be taken seriously, for they represent a crucial point in our walk with Christ. They threaten to take away my handkerchief. I don't know what I did with it. They threaten to take away our salvation. But they can make life less worth living. They can negatively infringe on the quality of our lives. They can hinder us from fulfilling our divine potential. And for those dealing with these moments, the question becomes, will conditions prevail over me, or will I trust God to see me through negative conditions? As Christians, we're expected to walk by faith and not by sight. But can I be real with you this morning? Many times my faith is challenged by what I see. But to rise above our problems and trust God anyhow, we've got to employ faith to help us. For without faith, there's a lot we can't cope with. Without faith, we can't make sense of a lot of stuff that we see. But when our faith is strong, then even though our hearts may ache, even though our eyes may be wet with tears, we can still find comfort in God's promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so challenges to our faith walk ought to serve as spiritual alarms. They ought to ring loudly and tell us now is the time to draw close to God. Come on, where are my folk who know that when your faith is waning, when you feel weak, when you feel burdened by hurt and pain, that's when you've got to get close to God. In our text today, we see God's prophet Elijah confronted by trouble. His name means Yahweh is God. Yet the text describes a period in his life when he experienced a challenge to his faith. Young people, don't ever forget that weakness can happen to anybody. Come on. None of us are so strong that we will never feel like giving up. One tactic of the devil is to get us to believe that moments of weakness can't happen to us. Consequently, when those weak moments come, they can be so overwhelming that we're unable to get past it. Satan makes us want to give up. But I've come by to encourage you today, my brothers and sisters, that when you feel like giving up, that's when you've got to draw on your faith. You've got to lean and depend on God. Elijah is experiencing a moment of weakness. He's having a crisis in his faith. He emerged onto the scene of history rather suddenly. During the reign of King Ahab of Israel, we know little about his background, but we know that he's one of the great pillars of our faith because he let God use him. My brothers and sisters, one common cause of us wanting to give up is because we won't let God use us to our maximum potential. A lot of us give God a little bit of us, but few of us give God all of us. We won't tithe like God has told us to do because we're unwilling to give God all of us. We live in houses that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, drive cars that cost tens of thousands of dollars, write checks to send our kids to schools that cost hundreds of dollars a month, and then give God a few dollars every now and then and act like we've done God a favor. But when we do that, we're giving God a little bit of us. But we won't give him all of us. We won't worship like we should. We come late if we come at all. We often come as though we've done God a favor by showing up in his house on the day he blessed us to see, under the strength he's blessed us to have, to give him thanks for salvation that looked beyond our many faults and met our every need. And we do that because we don't mind giving God a little bit of us, but we won't give him all of us. We'll give our all to the job. We'll give our all to other people and other programs. We'll give our all to personal agendas. But David asked the question in Psalm 116 that all of us need to ask. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness towards me? And then he answers his own question this way. He says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Come on and give God praise in this place. Elijah had been effective for God. Watch this, because he had an attitude that God could deal with. Elijah had an obedient spirit. Let me hear everybody say obedient spirit. And church, if we're going to make a difference for Christ, then we've got to be obedient. For some of us, obedience is fine as long as it don't cost us nothing. But Elijah obeyed God in some tough conditions. The Bible says drought came to the land, but Elijah obeyed God. And God led the brother to a brook of water. God fed him with bread and flesh every morning and evening. When the brook dried up, Elijah continued to obey God. And God led him to a village called Zarephath, where he stayed with the widow and her son. And they ate good for 3 long years. Come on, is there anybody who knows there's a blessing in obeying God? My brothers and sisters, if you walk with God long enough, there will be challenges to your faith. I don't care if you're in the pulpit or in the pew. If you walk this journey long enough, I need some help right through here. There will be challenges to your faith. Choir, I'm talking about the stuff we sing about, the stuff, amen, we sing about. God will allow something to happen to find out if your faith is real. Oh my, more than an obedient spirit, Elijah had a praying spirit. As the drought, the Bible says, went on day after day, panic spread like wildfire throughout Israel. No rain caused the crops to fail, and people got hungry. With no water and no food, sickness and disease set in. These were tough circumstances, and King Ahab blamed Elijah, but Elijah correctly diagnosed that the drought was because Israel had turned its back on God. And to prove that there was only one true and living God, Elijah issued a challenge to Ahab and his prophets of Baal. 450 prophets prayed to Baal, and nothing happened. But when Elijah prayed to the Lord, where are my Bible readers? The Bible says fire came down from heaven. Is there anybody who knows that if you turn it over to Jesus and let him handle it, he can and he will work it out. He'll work it out. In times of crisis, we need to have a prayerful spirit. We don't pray enough to the Lord about what's happening in our lives. But if you don't take the time to talk with Jesus, you're missing out on the one who can help you with what you're going through. In times of crisis, you've got to do like that song says, ask the Savior to help. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And so Brother Elijah had been prayerful. Brother Elijah had been obedient. But as we find Elijah in our text, his faith is weak. And the severity of his crisis is evident in the request he makes to the Lord. This is a prophet of God. Amen. This is a man of God. But he says, Lord, I've had enough. He says, Lord, take my life because I'm no better than our ancestors. Now, as I hurry to a close, I need you to consider this. Elijah's crisis was highlighted by the fact that his trouble came at a time when he should have been on top of the world. Elijah, the Bible says, had just defeated 450 prophets of Baal. Fire had rained down from heaven. The false prophets were rounded up and put to death. More than that, Elijah had been instrumental in announcing the end of the drought. When the prophets had been defeated, Elijah went back up on Mount Carmel and prayed until God sent a sign that the drought was about to end. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, Elijah ran before Ahab's chariots from Carmel to Jezreel. This should have been the greatest time in his brother's life. But it was right in the midst of all of this success that Elijah suffered a challenge to his faith. Don't ever get so caught up in the good times that you forget that trouble is always just a step away. I know I got some witnesses here. In fact, often our trouble is magnified because it comes at moments when we've had great success. It was just after great success in battle that Jephthah overspoke himself and lost his daughter. It was just after great success in providing for God's people that Moses let his temper get the best of him, and he missed out on the promised land. It was just after successfully declaring that Jesus was the Christ that Peter let the devil use him to try to rebuke Jesus. It was just on the precipice of receiving an Academy Award that Will Smith let a joke by Chris Rock get the better of him, and he reacted in violence. Trouble is always just a step away. Don't you hear Denzel Washington telling Will Smith that at your highest moment, that's when the devil comes for you? And my brothers and sisters, if we're not careful, trouble on the heels of success serves only to heighten the challenges to our faith. And that's what happened to Elijah. After his victory on Mount Carmel, after the rains fell and the drought was over, Ahab's wife, a woman named Jezebel, declared that she was going to kill the brother. She began to hunt Elijah, and suddenly he went from being a hero to being a wanted man. And when crisis came to Elijah on the heels of success, his faith got weak. He ran for his life to a desert cave in the Horeb wilderness. And as we hear his talk to God, it appears as though he's completely given up. Take away my life. After all I've done, after all the faith I've shown, I don't know why you would let this happen to me. I'm no better able to handle this crisis in my life than those who came before me. I'm tired and I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I'm weary, and I'd rather you take me away than have to deal with what I'm dealing with. Crisis can make you feel like giving up. When trouble visits your house, things can get so bad that you feel like even God has let you down. But when crisis comes, that's when you've got to be still and know that he is God. If you'll be still, the Lord will come to you. If you'll be still, the Lord will open a door for you. If you'll be still, God will make a way out of no way for you. When Elijah's faith got weak, God was still strong. Elijah prayed for God to take him, and then he went off to sleep. But God had the final say. Is there anybody who knows that God always has the final say?
God came to Brother Elijah in that cave and asked him an important question. He said, man, what are you doing here? Why would you give up on me now? After all that I've shown you, why would you doubt me now? After all of the bread and flesh that you ate when others around you were starving, why would you give up on me now? After all of the meal cakes you ate at the widow's house for 3 years, why would you give up on me now? After the victory that I gave you up on Mount Carmel, why would you give up on me now? Don't you know that I'm the same God that I was then? Don't you know that just like I brought you through before, I'm able to do it again? And so, church, as I close, God is asking us the same question. What are you doing here? What are you doing with the bowed down head? What are you doing with the discouraged outlook? Why would you give up on me now? After all of the dangers, toils, and snares that I brought you through, why would you give up now? After all of the mountains I brought you over, after all of the valleys I brought you through, don't you know that I'm the same today as I was yesterday? Don't you know that I'll be the same God tomorrow that I am today? Don't you know that I am your way maker? Don't you know that I'm still a heart fixer? Don't you know that I'm still a mind regulator? Don't you know that I'm still a burden bearer? Don't you know that I'm the one who will go with you all the way to the end? Don't you know that I still have all power in my hands? Whatever you do, don't give up now. Hold on a little while longer. Is there anybody who knows that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how frustrated you get, God is still able to see it through? Can I get a witness today? Amen. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I did not know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me stronger. And so through it all, I said through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I said through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Come on and give him praise. Come on and tell him thank you.
Reverend Joseph L. Garner and the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church of Leesville presents its annual Family Day Weekend. Saturday, May 21st, family enrichment classes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Family night concert featuring Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers of Memphis at 6. Opening up for Lisa Knowles will be Big Show and the Quartet Boys of Zwali, Louisiana. Tickets are $20, available at eventbrite.com. Sunday, May 22nd, family worship and the carnival. Free boiled crawfish, hamburgers, and hot dogs. They'll have food trucks, games, and balloon jumpers for the kids from 9:30 to 4 p.m.
Hey, come on.
The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. For more information, 337-238-1779.